Welcome to North Liberty Library's Love, Light, and Lit, the podcast, a series of universal talks gently guided by open hearts and open minds. Listen to ignite the light in you and to appreciate the light in others. Hello, I'm Kelly with North Liberty Library, and I thank you for joining us today on Love, Light, and Lit, the podcast. You can also catch Love, Light, and Lit on Facebook Live every Monday at 12 noon Central Time. Be sure to follow North Liberty Library on Facebook to get notifications. There aren't many life experiences that teach you more about yourself than the journey of parenthood. From childbirth and potty training to first dates and graduations, the lives of our children bring us both joy and exasperation. Parenting is challenging enough on its own, but when sharing that journey with someone managing significant mental health struggles, often the journey of parenthood looks a lot different. Jessica Harper is a 12-year resident of North Liberty and a parent to three kids, 9-year-old boy-girl twins and a 2-year-old girl. She has been divorced and co-parenting for 7 years with her ex-husband, who is the father of her twins. She is a graduate of the University of Iowa and an elementary school teacher in the Iowa City Community School District in her 11th year of teaching. Today, Jessica is going to chat with us about the challenges of navigating divorce, mental health, and co-parenting through it all. Welcome, Jessica. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's so good to have you on the podcast. First, I want to just stop and just thank you for bringing to light a topic that can often bring up big feelings for both parents and children. Please share with us some of the common roadblocks you've experienced in your co-parenting relationship.
Oh, man. Where to begin? There's so many. I think the hardest part of co-parenting is that it most often is coming from a place of hurt. Like when we got divorced, it was because we had both been hurt in some way. And so a divorce is a hard thing to navigate by itself, like not even taking kids into account. And so there's a lot of mourning that comes with that, that I didn't realize that really I was mourning the life I always thought I was going to have and didn't recognize that those were the emotions that I was going through.
Yeah, kind of like mourning the vision of what, like, you imagined. Yeah,
exactly. Like when I got married, I was getting married expecting to stay married forever, right? Sure. Like, I expected to share my life with this person and share a family with this person. And then all of a sudden, that was not my reality anymore. And so navigating that was really hard to begin with. But then we also are struggling because, and I'm not a mental health professional.
Nor am I. And that's a great idea. Let's make sure we put that disclaimer out here. We are not medical professionals. We are not mental health professionals.
No.
We are just two women having a conversation and inviting you, the listeners, to dive in and grab whatever gems you can get from it. So great disclaimer. Yeah. Thank you.
So I know the things that I've been diagnosed with. I struggle with anxiety and depression and just recently was diagnosed with ADHD, which explained a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But the things that I know about myself, I see a little bit of it in my ex-husband. I think he struggles with anxiety and some other things that he has a hard time, I think, navigating himself. Mm-hmm. And so when you're both struggling individually, that makes it even harder to find a common place where the kids are always at the center, right? Like we always want to keep our kids at the middle, but it's hard when there's still hurt feelings or things left unresolved. Sure. And so for us, I think the things that we've struggled with the most is like communication, because we just get stuck in this place where there's a lot of like documentation. Like we're always trying to like prove that the other person is doing something wrong, or like trying to say that I did something that I shouldn't have done, or he did something that he shouldn't have done. And so in doing that, there's a lot of like, well, let's make sure that we're documenting. So our communication a lot of times is done like on text or on email so that we have the like the receipts.
Sure.
Yes. And so that gets tricky, because then when you're communicating in a written format, you don't get all of the nonverbal communication, right? Like you don't get the tone, you don't get the facial expressions that go along with
that.
And
it all gets kind of lost in translation.
Yeah. And then you're making a lot of assumptions about what the other person is intending to say or trying to communicate to you. And so that's been a really, really big issue for us, is instead of assuming the best of each other, we're constantly assuming the worst. And so that makes it really hard, because when you're always assuming that someone is being awful,
yeah,
then it's hard to see that they're actually doing good things.
Right, because that kind of weaves into acceptance. And that's something that comes up with a lot of our guests on the show, mm-hmm, regardless of the topic, is acceptance can be hard. I know the conversation always goes towards forgiveness, but I think before you can forgive something or someone, you have to accept that that's what it is. Did you find that acceptance was, yeah, a roadblock in your co-parenting relationship?
It's funny that you bring that up, because we had a very really explicit run-in with that, with acceptance. So just recently, we've realized that we are not getting along well, mm-hmm, at all. And we've been arguing. Our relationship has gotten more volatile in the last 6 months than it's been in a long time. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure why that is. I think my daughter is starting puberty, and so there's a lot of changes that are happening with that. Mm-hmm. And there's just a lot happening, and the world is stressful right now.
Yeah.
So I'm sure
that goes without saying.
It, right?
Absolutely.
And so the last 6 months seems to be really bad. And so we both actively chose to start a couples therapy kind of thing together. Hmm. And it's being called couples therapy, but it's not for us to be a couple. I'm looking at it as co-parenting therapy. Mm. We are trying to resolve some of the issues that we have not resolved over the last 7 years that are getting in the way of us being able to function appropriately right now.
I feel like co-parenting therapy should be a thing.
I know, right?
Do you feel like during those therapeutic sessions that the therapist or the practitioner is staying neutral? Do you feel like more comes up in those sessions than would come up in one-on-one conversations with your ex?
Yes. She's done a really great job of staying neutral, which sometimes I'm but you should be on my side. But I'm right. And so I appreciate that about her. And I have even tried to be can we have a one-on-one conversation? And she has told me no, which is great. I'm glad that we found someone that is setting that boundary and maintaining it. Because one thing I know about my ex-husband is he tends to try to manipulate situations a lot. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of twisting of the words. And I really, really struggle with that. And that comes up in our sessions. Mm-hmm. Those things are happening. And I just want to be do you see what he's doing?
Right.
In these sessions? Mm-hmm. Because that really is a part of why we have so many issues. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of gaslighting and a lot of that sort of behaviors, which is a large part of why we're divorced. Mm-hmm. And one of our very first sessions, we were talking about just our background as a couple and how we got to where we are.
Sure.
And the end of our marriage was violent, trigger warning for some domestic violence stuff. Mm-hmm. We had an issue with that. And I brought that up in the session and said it was really traumatic for everybody involved. The kids, myself, mm-hmm, there was a police report filed, there was an arrest made, all of those things happened.
Was this the catastrophic event that kind of triggered going into?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Things were not good prior to that. I mean, you don't get to that point with things going peachy keen, right?
Right.
So things were not great before that, but not divorce level bad.
Yeah.
And then that happened and I was that's the line.
And you made the decision, mm-hmm, right there. Good for you. Good for you.
And when I brought that up, mm-hmm, he said, yeah, I agree with everything she said, except for the violence part. That didn't happen. And so, you're talking about acceptance. That's not happening, right? That's not occurring for him.
So it's difficult when a very specific part of the relationship is not being accepted, mm-hmm, by both parties.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was along that same thing. I knew he was upset about that, but I had no idea that he was flat out denying that that had happened. Mm. And that was kind of shocking and jarring to me that you're just going to say that you didn't put your hands on me and that everything was fine. And we haven't really gotten back around to that yet. So I want to make sure that we do, but it was very clear that there's very different levels of acceptance happening. And then my youngest daughter was born 2 years ago, well, almost three now. And I had her with a different man, mm-hmm, that I had dated kind of during the pandemic. And, mm-hmm, he's a whole different situation, a whole different story. He basically doesn't come around now. So co-parenting is not an issue with him because he doesn't parent.
Okay.
But my ex-husband, shortly after she was born, said to me, did you ever think how I would feel about you having a baby with another man?
So there's some acceptance issues. Mm-hmm. I'm also seeing some accountability. I think that that's what mm-hmm. the bigger issue sometimes tends to be, I think, with some co-parenting relationships.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Because, like you said, you get so caught up in the dissolution of the relationship mm-hmm. that the children are no longer centered in the conversation.
Right. And I think with all of that, like the acceptance and the accountability, our lives are very different now. He has a partner and he lives with her and they have this big house with a big yard. And I'm very single and have 3 kids on my own mm-hmm. and am working, living on a teacher's salary and really struggling.
Right.
And so our lives are very, very different. And so the expectations that he has to live up to are wildly different from what I have to live up to mm-hmm. because I'm the only adult in a house of 3 kids mm-hmm. and he's one of 2 adults. His girlfriend has some older kids, but they're teenagers, like older teens.
Right.
And so they're pretty self-sufficient, mm-hmm. but he's got a partner who can go and get the groceries and he can stay at home with the kids, or like who's helping make dinner or helps with bedtime, or, you know, all those really hard, like I always call it the marathon from like after school to bedtime, right?
The third shift.
It's just an absolute marathon. And so I don't think he's ever really had to do it by himself because mm-hmm. right after we separated, his mother was living with him. And then while she was still living, he moved in with his girlfriend. And so he's never had like a time where he had to do it alone.
Right.
And so there's also some empathy missing. He doesn't really understand the daily things that I'm dealing with. There's been times like my water got cut off because I couldn't pay the bill. Right. Like, mm-hmm. there's things like that that he's not experiencing, but also isn't showing empathy to me while
you are experiencing them. Now, you mentioned being a teacher. We mm-hmm. mentioned in the intro about your professional background as an educator. Do you find that your expertise as an educator provides some insight on how to best navigate your co-parenting relationship? Like when you find yourself in those challenges with your former partner, do you find that you tap into some of the insights you've gained as an educator to help alleviate the relationship? Does that help any?
A little bit. And one of the things that I've really had to come to terms with is that like the only behavior I can control is my own, right?
He's gonna
constantly do stuff I don't like, and it's gonna be frustrating. And so I have to be understanding that like I have no control over the things that he does or says or whatever. Mm-hmm. But being a teacher gives me like a front row seat to seeing how positive and negative co-parenting relationships are affecting kids. Like I see it in my classroom every day. Mm-hmm. The kids whose parents are communicating regularly and like maybe like stepmom and mom are friends or whatever the case may be, like those relationships, I see how that those kids are flourishing.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, that's great. Like I just can see how it's going well mm-hmm. and how those kids do well at school and with friendships. And then the kids who you can tell their parents do not get along, mm-hmm. how that goes. So I don't know that I necessarily apply any like of my educational insight to navigating those relationships. I'm just cognizant of knowing like when I am not getting along with their dad, mm-hmm. how is that going to impact what they're doing at school, how they're interacting with their friends mm-hmm. and like how they're able to focus on what they're learning and all of those things.
Yeah.
And I really want to be the like co-parents that's like, yeah, let's schedule conferences together. The teacher can talk to both of us at the same time.
Right.
I mean, that's also tricky because when my kids' conferences are happening, I'm also doing conferences for my own students. So that gets a little tricky on that front. But we were doing that for a while. And like I said, the last 6 months or so have been rough. So we've kind of moved away from it. But I'm just like constantly aware of like my behavior and how I interact with their dad has an impact on how they're doing.
And you know, kids are so cognizant. They see a lot more mm-hmm. than we give them credit mm-hmm. for, especially when they're as young as your children. Mm-hmm. And I find that when we're navigating these difficult relationships, if we're showing up authentically and trying to be accountable mm-hmm. and trying to practice acceptance, then that will show up in our children as well.
Yeah.
So that's a great point that you made. And then another thing I wanted to talk about were support systems. Support systems for any parent, whether you're in a marriage or you're co-parenting, they're very important, especially mm-hmm. when the dynamic is challenging.
Yeah.
Now, what or whom would you consider to be examples of support for you And how can other parents find similar resources for their family? So who's your lighthouse? Yeah,
I think for sure my parents, but that's tricky because they're 2.5 hours away from here. Mm-hmm. So like if daycare is closed, mm-hmm. then I'm like, Mom, is there any way that you can you drive out here for the day and hang out with the little one? And mm-hmm. it's great that like they're available to do that some of the time because my mom is retired and my dad is, I don't know, he does all sorts of things. He's semi-retired, I guess.
Right.
And so like when I go on trips, like I was on a trip this last week and I was able to leave my youngest with them. That's great. Mm-hmm. I don't really have super duper strong support systems around me, like in the local community. Mm-hmm. I think because of my own stubbornness though. It's not because people don't offer. Like I have lots of friends who are like, if you need help, let me know.
It's hard to ask for help.
It is so hard.
And it is especially hard for women who also happen to be mothers to ask for help. As someone who is a mother, mm-hmm. as someone who has a mother, mm-hmm. it is difficult to ask for help.
Right.
And then when you feel like your former partner, you're in a challenging dynamic with mm-hmm. them, you feel like you can't ask them for help because right. it comes with a lot of strings.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly. I will say that for the most part, for example, like the conference time is always crazy for me because teachers have to stay at school
right.
till 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really lucky that my kids are able to go to the school that I teach at. And so that's that good. Makes days super easy when I'm like, just come hang out in my classroom till I get myself together and then we'll all leave together. Mm-hmm. So that's really nice. But they can't do that if I have conferences right after school till 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And so on those days, I have been able to like text my ex and say, hey, I have conferences this night. Is there any way you can pick the kids up from school and I'll get them when I'm done? My youngest goes to an in-home daycare in North Liberty and she is like the most wonderful human. And she has been a huge support.
Where good daycare is very helpful. So I've had some nightmare daycare situations. I won't even go into them. But when you have good daycare, mm-hmm. that can be very helpful.
Yeah. And it's been truly like so wonderful because this last round of conferences, I was able to say like, hey, is there any way that she can just stay with you till I'm done? Because mm-hmm. she just runs it out of her home and she only has like, I think 3 or 4 other kids. So it's really small. And my youngest has come to just like love her like another mom. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, yeah, she can stay. And she's like, leave the car seat. We'll go to the mall with her. And so that's really great. Like that's been a huge support. But then I'm like, but what about when she's in preschool?
Yeah.
Like what happens then? So then it's like figuring it out again.
Right. And then it's about figuring out those support systems mm-hmm. as they grow, because as the children grow, the needs become a little bit more specific.
Right. Yes.
So then it's about continuing to cultivate mm-hmm. more of those support systems as you can throughout their growth.
And trying to swallow my pride a little bit and be willing to say again. I need help. Like there's other things like my kids play lacrosse. And so coming up, all of a sudden they have lacrosse practice 3 times a week. 2 of those times they have practice at the same time in different cities. And my ex-husband has decided he doesn't want to have anything to do with lacrosse. And so he will not drive to any practices or to any games. And so that just is like another hurdle. So I've been trying really hard to make friends with other moms on the team and be like, hey, can you drive my kid? And so we'll see how that goes. That starts on Monday. So,
oh boy. Yes. My daughter's starting track on Monday. Our school is not far from our house, which is good. But I can imagine, especially when you're dealing with a former partner who's unwilling or unable to assist with that, that can be challenging. Mm-hmm. Now, with all of the challenges that come with functioning within a co-parenting relationship with someone who is struggling with mental health, what have been some of the biggest lessons you've learned so far on this journey?
I think, like I said earlier, just like realizing that I can't control his behavior.
Yes.
And I can't control the things that I think he should be doing, right? I know he should be going to therapy. I don't know if he is or not. And I can't make him do that. I hope he is for his own mental health and his own well-being, but I can't control that. And so I think that, like, number one, just knowing, like, it's going to be frustrating, but you can't control it.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, right when my divorce was starting, someone said, divorce is a marathon, not a sprint. And I didn't really, like, fully understand what that meant until here I am 7 years in, still navigating some of the same issues that we were dealing with at the beginning of our divorce.
Yeah.
Things like child support is an ongoing issue. I currently pay him child support. So that's a wild dynamic that we're trying to navigate. And so that's always a thing that's going to tick me off and make me mad.
Oh my.
Especially now that I have another kid. And so, but it's also, if things are peaceful, I don't want to bring that up and cause...
And rock the boat.
Yeah, like cause the waves and create bigger issues. So it's also a little bit of like picking my battles of like, is it worth spending the money to go to court and deal with this thing? But then it's just hard to deal with another person's behavior when it's not always the best, right?
Yeah.
Like that's always gonna be a thing. So just being willing to like take it one day at a time and doing my best. I'm trying really hard to assume positive intent from him instead of just always expecting the worst. It's just hard when there's things that come up over and over and over that like, well, you just keep proving me wrong.
Yeah.
Like that you're being nasty. It's what it feels like. And so what's the saying that nobody's paying attention to you? Everyone's all wrapped up in their own lives. And I think that's probably part of it, that like he is wrapped up in his own life. And I'm assuming he really isn't thinking about me that much, which good, he shouldn't be. But also, I am the mother of his children. And I also am doing everything I can to provide them the best life that I can within the means that I have. And so I'm trying really hard to assume that he's doing everything with a positive intention.
It's one thing Brené Brown says is that you have to assume that everyone's doing their best.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily your definition of what their best should be, but that they are doing the best for who they are at this moment in their journey.
Right.
Is that kind of a belief that you try to sit with in times of conflict and crisis with your former partner?
I try to. I'm not the best at it.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm human too, right?
Of course, and of course.
So I try really hard to just assume that he's doing his best, but, you know, I'm not great at it.
Yeah.
I'm trying.
It's difficult. But, you know, just recognizing the challenges and recognizing that self-awareness is so important when you're navigating complex dynamics within family relationships.
Yeah.
So, and this is definitely one that's very complex.
Right. One thing I haven't really talked a lot about is how my kids are handling all
of
it.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Like, how's that faring for them?
Some days are better than others.
Mm-hmm. Because you have 2 9-year-olds.
Yeah.
And 9-year-olds have lots of questions.
Oh my God, so many questions.
Yes,
so
they
many.
Do.
And they pick up on things so much.
Oh yeah. Especially like, this generation of children. Like I have a 12-year-old who is way more well-versed about social situations than I ever was at 12. I was still playing with Barbie dolls at 12. I still believed in like the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus at 12.
Yeah.
So this generation of children, not only are they just a little bit more well-versed in that, they also understand mental health. They have some concepts of therapy and self-awareness that I don't think when we were 12, we had concepts. It wasn't available to us. So do you find that that kind of comes up in conversations with your children?
Yeah.
Are they aware that you're in co-parenting therapy with their father?
Yeah. So both of my kids go to therapy. My daughter's a little bit more well-adjusted, but she has like crazy anxiety. So we're trying to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
My son really struggled a lot when we first separated and his behaviors were crazy. And so we were trying to get those under control because they were only like 2 when we separated, when things got bad.
Right, right.
Okay. They were really little. And so this has been their reality for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like they don't really remember what things were like when we were still together.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that helps that they're both seeing their own therapist. They're both able to talk about the things that bother them. But my son has a tumultuous relationship with his father.
Mm.
And so I get a lot of like, oh, I hated it, dads. Or I can't wait till I can just live with you all the time. And so.
So how do you manage that? Especially because then you have to kind of shut off your feelings about your former partner and really center in and hone in on your son's feelings.
Yeah.
How do you make that demarcation?
Yeah, I encourage him to share his feelings with his dad. I'm like, do you talk to dad about when you feel like that? Or dad loves you very much. I try to say like, he's doing the best that he can. And his girlfriend cares very much about them. Like, quite honestly, I like her better than I like him. So, and they like her a lot. But like I said, our 2 households are very different.
Right.
And so I think it's difficult for them to go back and forth and navigate that. So I do encourage them a lot to just like, tell dad how you're feeling. And then I get a lot of, but I can't do that. He'll get mad at me. And that again goes to the, I can't control his behavior. So I just continue to like, your dad loves you. He cares about you, that sort of thing. And I get a lot of like when we do argue, because I, in the last few months, have not been my best self. Just dealing with like this school year has been very stressful.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just a lot going on. And we've had a couple like screaming matches like outside of my house where like even my neighbors came out and were like, are you okay? And my kids know, they see that and they hear that. And so I say things like, you know, I definitely should not have reacted to your dad that way. That was not the best thing for me to do. I'm really sorry that you had to see that and hear that.
The accountability that I'm hearing from here, and, you know, again, to be fair, we're hearing your side, of course. Mm-hmm. So we have, just to be fair for the conversation, but from what I'm hearing from your side is there's a lot of, this probably isn't the best way I handled this.
Yeah.
And I feel like when we show kids, when we show our children that we can call ourselves on the carpet, mm-hmm. then that helps them kind of navigate what that relationship looks like a little better.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, and raising my children at the ages that they're at right now, the priority for me is not to be an authoritarian. Mm-hmm. Because we're heading into the teen years, right? And I know what kind of teenager I was. So I can only imagine what kind of,
we didn't
even have like all the social media and the cell phones. And like my phone was like, you push the button three times to get the letter C, right? Like that was the world that I grew up in, which is so wildly different from what they're dealing with.
Oh yeah.
And they're just getting exposure to so many more things. And so when they're doing dumb stuff at 16, I don't want them to be afraid to come and tell me, Mom, I did this really stupid thing. Mm-hmm. And I want them now to be like, hey, Mom, I did this stupid thing at school. And they're 9, right? Like mm-hmm. my son just recently was very unkind to a kid in his class. And he came home and he was like, I did this to this kid. And I was like, why? And we had a conversation about it.
Yeah.
And I said, like, I'm not mad at you. I'm really glad that we had this conversation. Like, that's a priority to me, is like mm-hmm. building a trusting relationship that they can come back to when they're 15, 16, 17, 18 and beyond, right?
Yeah.
But my ex-husband sees that as me being friends and me treating them as friends. My children would not say that, right? Like if they're doing bad stuff or they're screaming or they're fighting or they're not doing whatever, mm-hmm. tablets go away, TV goes away. Like there still are consequences and there's still discipline happening in my household, but it's all centered around I love you and I care about you and
wanting I'm not to have gonna the hold conversation. This against
you. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, and I trust you to mm-hmm. do what's right for you. So that gets really tricky. Like my daughter, like she's going to probably kill me for saying that she just got her period, her first one, mm-hmm. and told me about it and was not ready to tell her dad, which like what girl is ready to tell their dad? Mm-hmm. I remember like telling my mom, like, don't tell dad, right? Like, mm-hmm. don't tell him.
Yeah.
And my parents were in the same household.
Yeah.
And so she said to me, Mom, do I have to tell dad that I got my period? I said, honey, you don't have to tell him until you feel comfortable to tell
him.
Sure. And then I told him and said, hey, this is what's up. She'll come to you when she's ready.
Yeah.
Apparently she didn't come to him fast enough and he got angry with her. And then it turned into, Mom told me to lie. Which was not true.
Oh my God.
And so we get a lot of like, but they're constantly concerned about how he's going to react to things. Mm. And so like, even.
Is that because maybe they saw that in you and how you having ambivalence about.
Maybe a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know all the ins and outs of how his household runs. I just know that I get the, I'm worried about dad being mad. And so I have caught them several times, like fabricating lies together about things that have happened at my house where I'm like, why do you feel like you have to lie to dad about that? And they'll go, well, cause I don't want him to get mad or I'm worried about what he's going to do or mm-hmm. whatever. And so I am constantly encouraging, like, just tell your dad the truth. And like, if he gets mad, let him get mad at me.
Yeah.
Like, I will be the scapegoat for you. It's fine. But don't lie to him. Like, let's not get in the habit of lying to your dad.
Yeah.
And that gets really tricky in navigating that part. But then there's the days when, like, my son, who doesn't even particularly like his dad, will say, like, Mom, do you wish that things would have gone different and, like, you and dad never split up? And I go, well, no, not really. Why? And he goes, I mean, because then, like, we'd all be in the same house. And
and honestly, sometimes that's really what the issue is with them, you know, because they're kids.
Yeah.
They don't understand the complexities of mm-hmm. adult relationships. So the best thing that you can do, I think, is what you are doing, is to be self-aware, to understand what I like to call the circle of control, mm-hmm. which is quite small.
Yep.
And then continuing to be kind of that beacon for them, that lighthouse for them. So I love that.
Trying.
Yes. Well, Jessica, I thank you for joining us today. I'm confident our audience, especially our audience members who are out there working through the co-parenting dynamic, have gained some good information here. Is there anywhere our listeners can learn more about you, about your work?
Yeah, I am a travel agent on the side. That's mm-hmm. my little side hustle. So you can find me on Instagram and Facebook at Disney by Jessica. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't post a ton about my kids on there. If you really want to find me, you can find my personal Facebook and reach out. But yeah, Jessica Harper on Facebook, and just keep fighting the good fight. Like, yes. It's all worth it for your kids in the end. And yeah, it's hard, but
I have to thank you again for coming here, because we talk about a lot of heavy things on this show. And I feel like this is a conversation that isn't happening enough. And I think there's at least one person out there that's listening to this and saying, yes, I understand this.
Yeah, I hope
yes,
so.
Yes, I'm working on this as well. Because I can tell you right now, you are not alone. And ooh, I'm so thankful that you were brave enough to come on the show today and talk with us about this topic.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. This is Kelly, and this has been Love, Light, and Lit, the podcast presented by the North Liberty Library. Today, we talked with Jessica Harper about the challenges and joys of co-parenting relationships. Check out the show notes from today's episode to find out more about their work and resources. Also, please visit our website at North Liberty Library for additional programming and services. Thanks for listening.